welcome to Overtime the Podcast. Overtime is a podcast dedicated to all things watches, particularly in the micro brand and affordable range. I'm Prakka, and this is my co-host, Justin.
We are two watch enthusiasts based out of Perth, Western Australia. Join us as we discuss our thoughts on new releases, share our personal experiences, and offer our insights on building a collection.
Whether you're a seasoned enthusiast or just starting your journey, Overtime will keep you entertained with informative insights and casual conversations.
Let's get started.
So, Justin, how you going, mate?
Hey, man, I'm pretty good for a Tuesday night. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going well. I'm excited to get back into the swing of things. It's been a while.
Has life has its ways of creating roadblocks and barriers nonstop. My aircon was one of the bigger ones of the last 6 months.
That saga went on for so long. I swear, I honestly thought that you were just gonna, you know, just lose it and rip the aircon out. Well, just rip it out yourself and just get a new one installed. But I'm glad you sorted it out.
Yeah, I mean, I spent one of the 36 degree days in the roof replacing isolation or ISO motors or whatever they're called, which allow the flow to vents. And yeah, it was rough, especially the roof in a two-story just cooks.
Yeah, no, that's no good. I try and avoid the roof space as much as I can. And yeah, I mean, I think equally the same. We've been also, you know, stuff getting a bit of work around the house that's happening. And yeah,
you've got a lot going on the house.
Yeah, renos and everything like that. Majority of it is, you know, different tradies or contractors coming in to sort things out and having to do stuff in between as well. And yeah, been in and out of home. It's been a busy couple of months, but hey, we're making it work, and that's important. But
that's it.
Yeah, so yeah, before I guess
hopefully a bit more of a regular schedule from now, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think the next couple of months, the sun goes down earlier, which is good news for both of us because our kids go down earlier.
It's colder, you know, bed's a nice warm place.
Exactly. Yeah, it's perfect. It works out really well. But the only thing I have to watch out for is to make sure that Justin doesn't fall asleep as well.
That's 100%. Yeah. I will push through. I will.
Yeah, for the listeners. Very good.
It's been rough, like fitting in everything from gym, work, sport now, like footy starting up for the young fella. It's just mental.
Yeah. No, it gets like that. And yes, but somehow we make it work. We love it. We love it. We love every bit of it, and we love doing this podcast. So
We do.
Before we get on to what this week's episode is about, what do you got on your wrist, mate?
For the second day in the row, I went with the Swordfish today, and I'm still in this weird, I don't know what to say, relationship with it, where I love putting it on. I'm like, it's amazing, but I also feel like I'm losing the connection to it tiny bit by tiny bit. Like, it doesn't, you know, sing to me, I guess, like it used to. It does when I see it in the photos with the new iPhone, and you can see all that texture on the dial. But yeah, I don't know. I think just growing apart from it very slowly. I think it will end up being a sale sometime this year. But I've said that before and always pulled out on the sale. So
you have.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I really, really do love the piece, but just don't have that same connection anymore.
Yeah, oh, it happens, man. Had that before. And I wonder, I put this question to you, is it a watch or is it the brand?
Yeah, I think a little bit of, I'm not sure. It's weird. I'm definitely not as active in the Zelos groups as previously in the past. I think that's by choice because of, I guess, the little bit of a toxic turn it took. In one of them, there is a second one that's trying to do the same thing as the old group, but isn't quite there yet. But I just think, so in terms of the brand, like the innovation and the following and whatnot is still all there. But I think some of the OG customers, not saying myself, but people are peeling away for other options.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think to be fair, you know, they've done so much for the micro brand space, micro brand community. And there's just a lot more options out there. So, you know, people can look around and you know, your micro brand collection has grown significantly
It
since then.
has.
And you've also tried many different ones. So I think it's just normal. But there you go.
It, I think it is normal, but I don't want it to be this way. That, I think that's the tear is I don't want to not like or have this watch in the collection, but I just it just isn't singing anymore.
Fair
Anyway,
enough. Fair enough.
what about yourself? What do you got for Tuesday?
I have my Christopher Ward C63 Sealander GMT. Yeah, I always forget how well it wears. Like, I don't wear it, but I haven't worn it in a couple of weeks because I've been away. But then, you know, as soon as I chuck it back on the wrist, I'm like, oh, this wears like a glove. 39 mil compact lug to lug. You know, the bracelets just taper, you know, just draping on your wrist. Yeah, I still probably one of the best Christopher Ward releases to this day. I did have a chance to try the June. One of
Oh,
our
great photos too.
friend of the podcast and my best mate. He got it recently, and yeah, it's awesome, great watch.
Yeah, cool.
So, and I must say, I think the bracelet on that is slightly upgraded to this bracelet. It feels like slightly more
Okay.
tapered than this, and it's pretty awesome. So,
There's something cool about like lighter colored dials with a that indice and lume color that was in there. That weird opposite contrast that you usually get from a white indice to darker dial. It does play really well.
The BGW9 on the sort of sandy dune thing. I did like my little, I don't know if many people picked up on the song choice of that post. I did, and, you know, sort of timed it in with that dune movie. Still, to be fair, dune 2.
June
I
2.
haven't actually seen it, so probably should. And yeah, we'll see. Very
Yeah,
good,
beautiful.
very good. All right, let's get into it. We thought, oh, yeah, let's just do keep it simple. Let's get into a new release episode. There's been plenty of new releases, and no, we're not talking about Watches and Wonders. We'll leave that to all the other watch publications and watch media out there.
I don't need to be put to sleep any more than I already am, so forget about those ones, hey?
To be fair, there were some pretty cool releases. We did speak about them from Tudor and all that, but you know, apart from those, probably other stuff not really as exciting for us anyway. But hey, everyone's got their market, and it's good to do. But you know what we do in this podcast? We talk about affordables, we talk about micro brands, talk about stuff we like. So yeah, that's where we are. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into our first new release, which I think it came out today or yesterday. So
Hot
it's
off the press.
hot off the press. So it is the Notice Contrail GMT. So it's a new iteration. I believe they have done it before. And yeah, this packed with a Miura 9075, the Caller GMT module. And yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, first looks, like I said, friend of the podcast, he sent me a photo this morning of it, and I was blown away. I was like, whoa,
Yeah.
what is this? You know?
You said that on to me. I thought, it's a good way to start the day. This is pretty good.
Well, what are your, I mean, just initial thoughts? I know we're both very like, whoa, but what jumps out at you?
Yeah, so like we had a quick discussion about this before we started here, but the I don't know if it sings out to me more, like the all white dial, the Polaris they're calling it. I don't know if that sings out to me because that's been on the cards for me in my kind of collection hunting, I guess, like an all white, possibly full lume dial. That is the one that stood out the most to me, and it might also have something to do with that beautiful lume shot that you're talking about. Fantastic, like half the ceramic bezel, half lumed. The lume in the dial was popping. It plays well with that white. It's gorgeous. But I think it's a home run. I think it's got some safe colorways, some classic colorways, and then some, a couple of maybe. Plays on a classic colorway in terms of the blue, the impulse, yellow, blue. While we're on that, yes, West Coast Eagles this week. Had to get it in. Usually a big fan of the yellow and blue. In this case, not so much. I think, I don't know why. I just don't think, like we just spoke about contrast, I don't think it's contrasting well in this colorway.
Yeah.
It's very dark, moody blue, and then the yellow is very outspoken, which I guess is the idea behind the GMT. You want to see that hand, it needs to be its own legible thing. So it's doing its thing. But I think I'd like this a lot more if the date wheel wasn't, the text in the date wheel wasn't yellow. I think if that was just white, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. Yeah, the white would have been nice with the blue just because you're the dual-coloured bezel as well.
So it
would have matched a bit better. But, yeah, I mean, the design is fantastic. It's a GMT, you know. It's been the last 12 months, if not more. We've had GMTs left, right, centre popping up. You know, it helps that you have two affordable GMT movements out there with the Miura 9075 and also the Seiko NH. Oh, it's testing me. I should know this off the top of my head. NH 30.
Was it NH or is it the 4R something?
No, so Seiko GMT is a.
To be honest, I'm the worst person to even ask. I'm just
NH 34.
I'm just throwing numbers.
I was right. It is 34. All right. Anyway, so I guess, yeah, just having those two movements out there just helps bringing GMTs into more affordable options. And I think they've done a great job to use a Miura movement here. One, it just makes the case profile just super thin.
Yep. And it needs to be with this size case as well. I think if this got too top heavy, it would be a beast of a watch.
Yeah, for sure. We don't want to be too. Yeah, I think it's like 11 mil thick or something. Yeah. Like it's super, super thin. You know, 11.8 mil, you know, 40 and a half mil diameter, 46.6 lug to lug, 20 mil lug width. I mean, it's just a classic size, compact lug to lug as well. So, you know, if you got smaller wrists like me, you'd be just fine. And the case is a bit angular as well. The lugs just come right down, and the bracelet is just looks incredible. I mean, it's a flat link. Yeah, it's a flat link.
Yeah,
I love a good flat link bracelet, and it also it's got the on the fly micro adjust as well. I mean, yeah, it's got it all. What do they call their signature thing? It's called the no. I think it's called the Nodex. Could be wrong. Yeah. So it's the Nodex. Yeah. So they have their own proprietary clasp. It's called the Nodex clasp. So your bracelet, 20 mil, tapering down to 16. Yeah. That's nice. Quick release as well. Yeah. So, you know, you've got all the stuff that I guess more of the higher known brands are. I mean, like Christopher Ward offer stuff like this with quick release and quick release bracelet and quick adjust. But notice offering it at arguably a much better bang for buck. I mean, you're looking at $825. That's
pretty
great
acceptable for what you get here.
Yeah, that's a great package, I think. And it just looks, I mean, Notice is, you know, this is the second release of Notice we've spoke about in three episodes or something.
Yeah.
And it was the Raven X Notice
collab. Yep.
Yeah, Trail Trekker. And then this as well. Yeah, I mean, this is a great, you know, if you're out there looking for a GMT, I think it's a great option.
Yeah, for sure. And I know every now and then we touch on brand websites as well. This initial page for the Contrail is fantastic. I love, if you scroll down to that picture of the crown with the crown guards, the attention to the detail there with the brushing and the polishing is beautiful. Even the bezel, stunning. It all works together very well. And Contrail, Notice have cool names for their watches, like Trail Trekker, the Contrail. It's actually, cool to hear something different.
Yeah, Sector, what else? Unity, Avalon.
Yeah.
But I feel like their design language is involved really well too. Like, I've seen the Avalon before and, you know, it kind of reminded me of like a squished turtle before. And then just moving forward, like I really like the Unity. I thought it was like wicked colors, you know, smaller case. And then the sector as well, we've seen a couple of those sector fields around in Perth. I think there's been one or two floating around.
There was a bronze one somewhere at one point, or no, I don't think it was the sector field in bronze.
Or maybe the
sector else.
Sport, but you know, that was great. And then this one, it's just, yeah, I'm feeling notice, and I feel like, yeah, might be one for the cards at one point, I think, just to check it out. It seemed, they seem like they're offering some great value for money.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Gorgeous watch.
Very good. Well, of course, as usual, we'll be leaving all the links in the show notes. So please play along at home.
All right. Moving on to next new release of the episode, the Baltic Tri Compacts. I feel like this is very you, Crocker.
A chronograph. Surprisingly, I'm lacking a lot of chronographs for liking it. But yeah, Baltic. Baltic is a brand that, yep, it almost seems like a staple in the in the micro brand space right now. But this is a bit different. Yeah, so I mean, it's so they have released this Tri-Compacts before. I think it was about sometime early last year.
Yeah, reverse Panda edition.
Correct. Yeah. So this one is a special edition. It's a Tour Auto 2024. So basically, my understanding is they released it just for this race, and it's got the French colors in one of the subdials as well, which I thought was a pretty cool take. And like the previous Tri-Compacts, I think it also comes with those additional things as well. What do you call it? The timers,
they're kind of like stopwatches that are mounted on a plate type thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Some sort of like display.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's called like a plem or a plem or something like that. And you should know this. I mean, I'm not a huge like racing or, you know, kind of guy. Like I can respect the sport, and I think that is pretty cool to watch it. But I can appreciate it that, you know, there's amount of effort that's gone into producing a watch that's really racing inspired. And not only that, giving this additional instruments basically, right, that you can attach to your car if you're into that and actually use it for
racing. It would be quite cool if you, you know, had that vintage aesthetic this fits into actually have this mounted somewhere. It would be really cool to have that bonus piece.
For sure. This edition is because they have the 2024 edition of that Tour Auto race, which is basically in France. It's a race. I think it's been going since, it's a reincarnation of something that went 1899. Like that's wild. So it's basically like a vintage car race. I guess back then it's just big cars, right? it's pretty cool. I mean, personally, it's not. I wouldn't say it's a watch for me. It feels a bit on the larger side. And even though it isn't, it's only 39.5 case diameter, but it just feels a bit bigger. Obviously, because it's an automatic chronograph, or it's a manual wound chronograph. But hey, like it's definitely a looker. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, I love Baltic as a brand. I think this doesn't reach out to me too much, but stuff like their I've kind of what it's called, was it the Hermetique? Hermetique, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's
it. And the obviously the Aqua scarf, and even I can't remember the other one, the salmon dial,
MRO1.
Yeah, that might be it. They produce some stunning and, like you said, staple in the micro brand world.
Yeah,
watches. This one to me just doesn't do it. I think it is because this style has got a lot going on for me. When I look at it, I'm looking at it immediately, for some reason my eyes are drawn to, I mean, it might even be because I mean, watch, look at this watch next to the Panda colorway, and the extra indices frustrate me for some reason. So we've got our actual numerals instead of batten indices on this one.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at like the blue hands, and I'm seeing the white hand on the left. I'm like, oh, my brain doesn't like that. I want to see another blue hand. And then, yeah, just like big, bold, big, bold black circles there for yes. your sub registers and whatnot into that black minute track on the outside. Then you've got another, whatever that next circle is. I've got a bit of ring rust from not doing this for a while now. I'm forgetting a lot of stuff.
That's right. Yeah, like I guess the tacky and the and a minute track as well.
Yeah, yep, then you've got that one in between it, the silver, you know, just looks like a brushed bezel or some kind sitting in the middle.
Yep.
They're just so much layering to this. I don't know where to look, and it's just not visually pleasing to me. But I like the idea of the watch, though, why it's created. I understand it. Like I said, I respect racing, even though I'm not too into car racing. I don't mind a bit of MotoGP. Not cars myself. But I think Baltic do their thing. This is going to be bought. It's going to be sought after at some point. they're ticking another box.
For sure.
Another notch in their belt.
Yeah, no, I mean, and, you know, it is only limited edition, of course. It's only 500 pieces, and I don't, you know, it's still up for sale at the moment. When we see it's €2,100, so that's
expensive.
It's definitely up there. It's roughly $3,400 Australian dollars. It's definitely on the higher end of what we normally talk about, but, you know, in saying that, it's limited edition, and essentially you're getting two separate
you do get the bonus,
the bonus, you know, all this additional stuff you do get, and it's an automatic chronograph as well. I mean, or I guess a manual wind chronograph. I mean, what's another manual wind chronograph that pops up to your head of a big brand? I don't know.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And on top of that, you're getting Baltic quality as well. That's one thing you got to mention with Baltic. Their watches are extremely well made.
I agree. I mean, you do have some, you know, definitely in that price range, you're probably not going to get many manual wind sort of chronographs. I mean, I feel like you've got your Seagull movements, automatic chronographs, on the sort of the cheaper end, and then there's a big jump, and then you're paying, you know, for your, I guess, your, like, your tag chronos, or, you know, even a Speedmaster or something. You know, it's a big jump between the two.
Yeah, look, Baltic, you know, Baltic are justifiable for their price as well.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're getting Baltic quality on top of a manual wound chronograph.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, you know, yeah, it's a, what is it, manual wind Sellita SW510, 63 hours power reserve. I mean, it's a cool watch. And I think it's, you know, while it's not for us, it's definitely for a racing enthusiast out there. And especially if you, you know, if you're into this Tour Auto, which is, you know, this, I guess it's the ring, like I said, it's the historic reincarnation. And it was created in 1899. You know, I think it's pretty cool. Especially because the race starts, well, it's already started, actually.
Yeah, so, I think I looked at.
Yeah, they're in the Le Mans Bugatti racetrack today. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, if you're into this stuff, check it out, because like before, the notice page, it's also a very cool webpage. Scroll down, there's all these cool photos, and yeah, and also with the legend, I think there was a legendary driver that apparently rode along. I don't know what his name is, but check it out.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, let's get on with, so I guess from one French brand to, well, not a French brand, it's Swiss, but it is run by a Frenchman, Nevada Grenchen. So yes, a brand that was revived by Guillaume Ladet, who's revived a couple of different brands. Yeah, look, Nevada Grenchen, I really like what they do. And this is the F77. Which is a integrated sports watch from, I think, the early 70s. So looking at it, you're like, yeah, that's exactly the same as every other integrated sport watch. But when you look a bit closer, then you go, oh, yeah, this is really cool. And then also looking back at the history of it as well, like it Nevada Grenchen have a massive back catalog, and I like what they're doing. You know, they're bringing back all their, I mean, essentially doing what many of the big brands are doing, like Tissot, bringing back their old catalog, but because they've sort of been lost in many ways, and bringing it back, and also bringing it back in a classic case size too. It's not massive, you know sometimes they're like, for example, PRX. It came
they
out.
Modernize it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But this one's like the same. But yeah, I mean, which of these new dials stand out to you?
Well, and before we crack on with this one,
tell me.
If you're playing along at home too, the website images from when you're on the homepage type thing don't do it any justice. Like you said, you kind of look at it, you're like, oh, it looks like every other integrated sports watch. And it does from there, they're all lined up next to each other. You immediately just go, it's got screws. It's, you know, this is your next AP kind of copy and paste. But when you dive in and have a look at the quick view of it, you do get some close-ups that do it justice. You get some angled shots, renders, and you do see it's something special. So I guess for my favorite, I toyed with this because I sort of wanted one of these. I got real kind of in my feels about it. I was looking at the pictures. I had heaps of screenshots, but I just, it came down to like a last minute type thing where I went, I'm just not overly keen at that price to jump in on it. I mean, I've handled one Nevada being your chronograph, and yeah, great watch. But I don't know, like I've said it before, I have issues with purchasing online at a certain price point. It's not remorse. What is it? It's like, I just get cold feet with it. I'm like, oh, it's stunning. It looks great. The hashtags on Instagram look fantastic, but I just never commit to it. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, but that's completely fair, right? I mean, I think we have the sort of mental barrier to where we want to enter. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm sort of the same with what you know, just looking at the watch. I definitely think it's a great looking watch, you know, looking at all the angles and, you know, there's, you know, integrated sports watch, right? I mean, they can change some things, but they have to keep some things. And it is very much similar to what they've had previously. So it's not a lot to not like about this watch, but at the same time, I feel like you're exactly right. Like, is there enough to justify another integrated sports watch in your collection?
Yeah, my thought process with this was it does look like something special, and especially when you attach that price point. Like, let's be real, when you're in the integrated sports watch space, integrated bracelet, up until what recent times, the PRX really was the first big one to kind of come out of the affordable price and be to the masses, from my memory anyway. This kind of feels like it's in that ceiling kind of space. You know, there's a certain amount you can do with the design of it, and it's as beautiful as it is. It's nothing over innovative or stand out compared to what other brands have done. And when you look, you know, some of these dials, like for the F77 titanium anthracite, yeah, it's got a pattern on it.
Yeah.
What kind of pattern does that look like? It looks like the PRX, right? It just looks like a waffle dial from afar.
Sure.
Yeah, and then you got your aventurine. What is this? Lapis lazuli?
Lapis lazuli, yeah. It's a type of rock, basically.
Rock, yeah. And that would be my go-to in terms of eye draw. But I don't know, upon second thought of this watch, it is, I think, something special at its price point, but I think it's well within the confined space of an articulated, integrated sports watch. I think there's much to be done in that space that hasn't been done already, unless you're in your Dorenzos or something, playing with some you know, different dial depths and angles and indices. This is very, I wouldn't say safe is the word, would you? It's just in the vein.
I probably wouldn't say safe. You know, there's not a lot of integrated sports watches out there that you would say is playing it safe. I feel like they always stand out a bit more. Look, I think I genuinely like the look of this watch, but because of the screws and everything else, it really is leaning on the, you know, the AP or look. I mean, it is. And
it's an aesthetic that's sought after. I get it.
Exactly. It's a Genta, you know, aesthetic. It's there. But again, you know, everyone did this in the 70s, I think. Like every single brand, like there's Bulova's, there's even Seikos that look like this. So I don't want to take that away from them. And I do know that they've, you know, they have the past, they have the history in their design. So I get that. And look, for me, I love that blue lapis lazuli.
It's stunning, hey?
And the aventurine as well. Like, I've seen many aventurine dials. And is sorry to all the Zelos fans, but I think this aventurine dial looks the best so far out of any out of any I've seen. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because it's slightly darker and it's not. Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, it for me, that looks, it's like one of the best adventure dials I've seen. And, you know, there's
I think you'll find the crystal plays a big part in that.
Yeah.
Like the crystal on this that really does add a bit of, like when you're looking from the angles in those photos and renders,
yep.
It plays a big part of the depth of that adventure in, which a lot of the micros, I guess, don't splurge up for that high quality crystal.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely give credit to Nevada here is, you know, the meteorite anthracite being titanium as well, grade five titanium, which, you know, integrated sports steel watch, grade five titanium and meet it with a meteorite dial. Okay. What is it? $1,690.
Yeah.
Look, it's getting up there, but I don't know, man. I think that seems to be pretty good value if you're looking at, I guess, if you're comparing it to a PRX and a Citizen Seiza, maybe not. But if you are comparing it to sort of a higher level integrated sports watch, then I think it looks like good value.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is, I don't know, with the anthracite is beautiful. But I think the dial is also a bit of a play on, you know, that it's very in the middle of what Chapek does and what Tissot does. Like it falls somewhere in the middle. I just feel like a different textured dial of some kind would just make this design so much more attractive because this looks like it's been done 1,000 times before. That's what I get here. I mean, one thing I will say about Nevada with the website too, thank God they got the screws lined up perfectly, because I remember there was an AP release at some point in time years ago that the screws were out of whack and it was just hysteria among the masses.
That's funny. I didn't even realize. Okay. All right. There you go. I didn't even know that was a thing. There you go. But no, look, I think it's a pretty cool release. I would, you know, if you're in the market for automatic, what do you call it? Integrated sports watch, then it's definitely something to check out. Before we move on though, I just want to double check, what was the movement in this thing?
Do movement.
We know what it is?
I don't know. We've got specifications. Movement. We've got a Soprod PO24.
Okay.
So mechanical self-winding, three hands, no doubt.
Cool. Yeah, I'm starting to see Soprod movements coming into different things. I mean, it's like a Salida. It's based on the 2824. So I guess, yeah, I haven't had a lot of issues with it. I mean, sorry, haven't had any experience with it.
Experience,
and I haven't, yeah. I haven't really heard any people with issues with it or anything like that. Yeah. Good to have another option for in the affordable end, or at least affordable-ish end.
No, like we said, despite moans and niggles, it is affordable in an area that maybe not so affordable in the past.
Yeah, for sure. Oh.
Sweet. All right, we might move on.
Yes,
let's do it. Friend of the show, brand of the show, Peter Sargeson's second hour, The Memoir. Now, not sure when this actually released. I know it was semi-recently, probably before, between since we last spoke, right? I think. Something different. We've got a square, rectangle, might butcher this, Cartier tank-inspired kind of case, I think. Is it tank? Have I got that wrong?
Yeah, I think, yeah. It's like, it's a tonneau case, right? That's what they call it. Yep.
But, yeah, we've got some different colorways going on here. I guess, first of all, I think big standout for this when you go to the website is the price, $590 AUD. And it feels good to say something in AUD after reading like pounds and USD. It feels good. But for a, you know, Ronde Quartz movement, Swiss made Ronde Quartz, I think that's a pretty fair price for what we're playing with here as well.
Yeah, I think I said the wrong thing. It's not quite tonneau. Tonneau has got that slightly different shape, but it's definitely a rectangular case shape. So yes, very much a Cartier tank sort of inspiration there. But really, really cool release. Something a bit different from Peter, usually known for sort of dive watches and sports watches. You know, it's the Gin & Clear and the Mandela, both really good releases. This is, for me, sort of came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this at all. And I really liked that he dropped the logo in this and just went with the word Second Hour, with the brand
name. I think
name.
He had to with this, right? Because this is, you know, a bit of an Art Deco kind of thing. To have that that star, you know, kind of logo would take away from the overall aesthetic here.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we've seen many of this sort of style watches in the past before, as in from various brands, not just Cartier. You've got, you know, many, many brands. And I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of them don't put the logo, but they write their name in there. I don't know if you've noticed.
Right,
but,
no.
And I'm not sure where that came from, but I think it looks cool. It looks better. I'll tell you the story after this. Actually, let's finish this off. But I think it's pretty cool size as well. You know, it's 28 mil wide, but that's because it's a rectangular case. It's 39 and a half height, so it is going to sit very. I guess it's going to sit quite small on a wrist, but that's what you want for this.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
you don't want a big, bulky rectangular thing on your wrist. You know, the tanks are always something you wear petite on your wrist.
Yeah, this would, with the strap, looking at the black, the black dial here, that this would look so good with a tux or a suit of some kind. It would just, it just works, doesn't it? I think what I like most about this, like you said, it's something different from Peter, but you still know it's a Second Hour from looking at it.
Yep.
It still stays in the design realm and the lane that Second Hour has chosen. I think Peter's good at that, isn't he? He really, he's got his lane. He's sticking in it. He said that when he came on as a guest, and said he's going to stick with that, which I think works for him. But in terms of other, square watches, small seconds, what do you got? You got JLC out there, and the price difference between that and this. Jeez.
Yeah. Too big. Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very different. And, you know, for a micro band, there's not many out there. In saying that, we've seen a couple of new ones pop up, and that's a little hint. Watch this space.
Yeah.
But the Memoir, I think, for me, it's pretty well priced too for what you get. It's, 590 AUD, which is, for all the US listeners out there, it is 380 US dollars, $380. I mean, I think
that's great, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Yes, it's a quartz movement, but I don't think that's anything wrong with that. Quartz movement here is great. It's going to make the whole entire thing slimmer, which it does. It's only 7.3 mil thick. Like, yeah, that's just going to, you know, this is the real slip under the cuff style watch.
Yeah. And it really hits what he's going for. Like, I think the website even says deco styling, some sort of vintage thing. It does hit the nail on the head there. This does look like a piece of art. It kind of looks like a square wall clock that you'd see somewhere. I don't know where. But in terms of colors too, we haven't touched on the colors. So we've got a range of colors. We've got black. We've got a silver. It could be silver. It could be white. Is it silver?
I think it says white.
White, yeah.
But it does look silvery, though. I mean, if you said to me silver, I would probably call it silver more than white.
Yeah. So, yeah, silver with blue hands and indices. We got a red dial with a red strap. Green, I call pistachio kind of color. Pistachio dial, pistachio colored strap. And then, is that a different color tone of black, brown, or are my eyes just getting worse?
No, I think it's definitely black, but it almost looked like a gray. It's
it does closer, look more gunmetal,
Yeah, I think it's closer to a dark gray than a full black. But that's just got to do with the texture as well, doesn't it? The textured sort of dial, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a look at the first black image with the black background. Look at the small seconds on there. It looks like a pyramid build up, and then when you go down to the next one under the first red image, it's more of a pyramid build up. Like, from that angle, that's actually really thrown me off. That I don't know what that's supposed to be now.
it could just be the rendering,
which
sometimes does some stuff. But I guess if you keep scrolling down the so there's some real life shots some real life shots in the page, and you do see it pretty close by.
Photo of the green is stunning. The second last one where it's laying down with the strap, that is beautiful.
Yeah, some pretty cool stuff there. And I must say, like, it's really cool to see, you know, like we started off, and you know, they're sort of normally into their dive watches and sports watches, so it's cool to see it translated to a dress watch, and also keeping that how do you say it, the texture on the dial as well.
Yes,
like
yeah,
they've done texture on the dial without it being too busy. You're still keeping the classic tank style, which is trying to keep that, you know, that outer edge where you got the 12-3-9 and everything else, all those lines. It's still very art deco, but the texture, you know, it doesn't take over completely, so
it holds its dimensions well. The square to rectangle case, it all fits very very nicely.
I think this is a wicked release, and if you know, if you're out there for a cool dress watch that is just a bit different, and you know, and if you want a Cartier tank and don't have Cartier tank money, then might be something to check out.
That's it.
Cool. All right. Well, let's go from that to let's go back to an integrated sports watch. This time from Citizen. Yeah, which is basically a new version of the Suyosa, which is Citizen's integrated sports watch that comes in a small seconds hand version and some pretty cool new textures and dial colors. So Justin, I'm going to let you kick off with Suyosa because I think you have something to tell the people.
Yeah, let's do it. I am a big fan of the Suyosa because I now own one. I picked it up for a bargain on AAWF. Went on a bit of a whim. I'd never tried one on before in person, but I only kind of looked at them in shop windows and maybe seen the Starbuy rent advert for them and always seen the price and went, it's pretty cool. Being a former PRX owner as well, I was a little bit hesitant with the integrated sports watch type thing. It wasn't my thing with the Citizen, but after nearly 3 weeks of wear, where I think I've worn this maybe, well, I haven't worn it 3 days out of that, nearly 3 weeks.
Wow.
I can say it wears fantastic. And my gripes with Citizen in the past about bracelets and whatnot have gone out the window. I have owned Citizens that maybe were a bit more above this price point of the Suyosa in the past, and I wasn't a fan of their bracelets. But they've definitely refined, re-looked their design. And hit the nail on the head, I think. I can't wait to show it to you in person because I don't know if it's like I've said to you on the phone before. I don't know if it's just the bargain I got it for with the value for money there, or just that it is actually a fantastically made watch. I'm very happy. And we have sung a lot of praises for Citizen, and I've really toyed with buying one for some time now. And I'm very, very happy. I'm a very happy owner of this watch now. Not the small seconds. I got the teal color variant, the Fume too, and it is stunning in different lights. You get real dark, you get real aqua, and then you get that kind of real aggressive Fume at sometimes as well, where you get the blue in the middle and just dark on the outsides. But anyway, enough about my one.
No, but that's exactly why I thought, hey, let's get you to start, you know, talking about it, because you have hands on of how the watch is. I mean, you know, look, everything else is pretty much the same in these new releases. It's the new dials. They've got a couple of new dial colors. I think it's like a, how am I going to say this? Kind of like a salmon colored dial, but like a salmon that's closer to a desert.
Yeah.
Than a pink.
It's like a copper that's had more like alloy put into it opposed to copper.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of reminds me of, you know, like the, what do they call it? The Argyle.
Yeah, yep.
Like, yeah, those, for those, yeah, those that don't, the listeners playing along, we have this sort of pink Argyle diamonds and lakes in Western Australia. And yeah, maybe close to that. I don't know. Anyway, my color matching today isn't that great. But yeah, and then there's this green. It's like
get it away from me.
Yeah, I don't know about the green.
I really don't like the green.
It's like I don't know. They kind of went for like a camo.
It's like they've gone camo, but they've got like an overcast day, but green.
Yeah, not
there's
sure
some
about
texture,
that.
There's some lines.
Not
I
sure
don't
about that.
think that dial might, I honestly, I looked at that dial and I thought it would fit those funny shaped citizens that are like the old Digivice shaped ones. It would really fit in the green Inissi version of that.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't fit this watch.
Nah, this is a classy watch. This is not a classy dial. But I did find it interesting that they removed the Cyclops or the magnifier on these two things.
Yep.
Whereas the other, I guess the other two other colors that released, which is like an orange dial and then like a beige dial, they've left it on. So maybe they think, hey, these two models will be a hit with the younger crowd, so we'll take away the Cyclops.
But let me stop you there. You go down to the center seconds, there's no date and no Cyclops. And oh, I wish the standard colorways came with date in them, man. It's really grinding my gears.
You're right. The center seconds, beautiful. And the blue, the I don't know what you call this color, copper, and the gray as well. Oh, that
gray is stunning, man. It's really beautiful.
Gray's nice. I mean, I'm not really a fan of the sort of the strap on it. But oh, the bracelet on that. Is it like a Jubilee style bracelet? That's kind of,
what are they called? They're like
three link sort of, kind of like a president style.
Presidential, yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yep.
Yeah.
It is extremely comfortable. If that gray was, you know how citizens sometimes do that stainless steel that's toned like titanium, put that gray with that case tone and then put the bracelet on it, and I'm buying it.
Yeah, maybe with the, what are they called? The coatings they put on, like a bit of like a DLC, but not quite DLC coating. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Where they put like an anti-scratch proof, kind of like what's on the SPB 143, which makes that steel just slightly darker. Yeah, that'd be really nice. No, I think out of every variant that they released so far, this small second is definitely the winner. And that guilloche pattern dial, I mean, I know it's not going to be it would be a CNC done guilloche or a stamped guilloche. Yeah, it's stamped. That's right. Stamped guilloche, but still, for the price.
Texture at a great price.
I know, exactly. And what's the price there? 379 euros. Yep. So, I'm going to have to, we're doing so many conversions today. But, you know, for you listeners, we'll do it. So 379 euros is $626 Australian dollars. That's retail. And we know how citizen are with retail prices and what you actually get out of, what you can actually get it for eventually on sale.
Look, the Ciosa that I bought on secondhand was 250 AUD. And I think they retail for 575 AUD. So you're under half price.
Yeah.
Which is just above.
Yeah. I mean, this one maybe not quite that up price just because it's quite new.
I don't know with Citizen, man. Citizen is a weird one. Like, you go on Starbuy and some of their, like, they had those, not the Fugu, but one of their other divers that has a wave texture on the dial. It's an automatic movement. They were going for like $310 at one point. And retailed at $800.
Interesting.
Even some of those 37 mil Eco Drive divers that we spoke about.
Yes.
Yeah, they were up for around the $550, $600 mark for the gold tones with the textured whites.
Mm.
And some of them sold for $289 on Starbuy at one point.
Okay.
Citizens, it's an underrated brand when you get a sale.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think we've said this all the time. Don't pay retail for a lot of brands, including Citizen. Yep. If you wait a while and you'll be able to pick one up. Unless it's a limited edition or whatnot. But yeah, there's always sales out there. For the Australian listeners, you know, Starbuy is the way to go.
And what I will say about the Ciosa in particular is, like, the price I got was great, but now knowing how it wears, I would have paid more for it as well. I think it is a fantastic watch. The only gripe I've had with the watch so far is the crown, which I'm happy to ignore my gripes with it. I think the crown is small, it's tucked away, it's very fiddly, but how big do you want to go with the crown for this style of watch? It would look stupid. It wouldn't suit. It's done the way it has to be done, and you've got to take that.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge advocate for this watch. I really love it.
I like the recess crown, I think, for like the style of the watch. I reckon it makes it a bit more sleeker. So yes, as annoying as it is, it's one of those things. How's the movement so far on it?
Yeah, movement seems fine. I mean, I've been wearing it nonstop, so
Sure.
I
Yep.
haven't had any to wind it at all or set it.
That's great. And it's a is I know it's an 8 series caliber, Miura 8 series. So does it have a, what do you call it, hacking?
Yes.
Okay, so it's
Yeah.
one of the upgraded ones. Very good.
Yes. And I
Nice.
mean, I will say this as well, having the display on the back, what is that called again when you get the display
A
back?
display case back.
Display case back. Yep, that's it. I was halfway there. And actually having that not be just the afterthought, like, you know, some of your Seiko fives that you just get a five put on the rotor and that's it. Having this actually be thought about and not be an ugly mess is nice to have as well.
No, it's actually not a bad looking movement for
Yeah.
a pretty basic movement from Miura, well, Citizen. Very nice, very cool. Well, we
Sweet.
kind of went from, like, I guess what, US, oh yeah, like a over 2,000 Aussie dollar integrated bracelet to a 600 Aussie dollar integrated bracelet. And I mean, they both have its perks, but yeah, I guess you can definitely get a cheaper one out there.
100%. And yeah, like I said, being a PRX owner, like I'm now looking comparing the two, I owned the PRX for about 9 months before I sold it. The Citizen does bring a lot more personality to the to that price point.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, I mean, there's similar experience between PRX and the Dorenzo
Lorenzo,
for
yeah.
me
Yep.
as well. Dorenzo definitely brings more personality and just, yeah, more uniqueness to the game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sweet.
Well, look, we've been through all of our new releases or today, and it's been good. It's been good to get back into it. And
Definitely.
now let's get to the part of the episode where we speak about something interesting that's we've seen, we've heard, whether it's watch related or not. So yeah, Justin, go for it.
Yeah, so my one this week was I was over the school holidays, needed something to watch, and we wanted to start a new series. And the 100 was what we landed on. In the end, didn't end up enjoying it as much as I'd like, but there was an actual cool watch scene in the beginning of the show. So for those who haven't watched it, I'm not gonna say spoiler alert because it is near 10-year-old show now. It's a show that Earth is dying and the human races needed to evacuate. They're living on like a space station that's called the Ark. It's quite large. There's hundreds or if not thousands of people on there. And the idea is that you know they're staying there until levels back on Earth become inhabitable, blah blah blah. In the first scene, they describe when they left Earth, what year, and when they can go back. So there was about 100 years in between that. And then the little subtitle pops up or the heading at the bottom says this is the current year. And the first scene is a close-up of a Seiko quartz diver. And I was like, oh, whoa, look at it. And my son was like watching it with me. It probably wasn't age appropriate now thinking about it, but he likes his watches now too. But he couldn't understand the fuss. But I thought it was cool because the time that the human race in the series had left Earth would have been about the time these Seiko quartz divers made their way into the world. And I thought that was a really cool watch related Easter egg as a watch nerd, to kind of marry those two things up and be like, they thought about that there was actual thought had gone into what watch he was wearing on the Ark.
That's really cool. I love a good watch insert into popular media or into movies, and
Yeah.
generally see a lot of Hamiltons, but it's awesome. It's good to see that they've managed to, and you know how much I love my Seiko quartz divers. So
And
fantastic.
because like when you on there you could have thrown in any type of Casio because it is if it does become a survival show, and that's what I thought, you know, that if there's gonna be I did actually think is there gonna be watches in this movie, I would have thought Casio, G-Shock, that type of stuff. And then to see that was awesome and have the date. Oh man, very interesting to us.
Awesome, cool.
What about
Well,
yourself?
mate, I've actually got two things. The first thing is the so the first thing is actually about, because you always bring up cool Netflix shows, and I probably don't as much, but I did see an a Netflix show that's kind of related to watches. Actually, no, not at all, but I thought I'll just say it's called Anthracite. So I
Okay.
was like, oh yeah, anthracite dial, like that's, you know, that's all the sort of stuff. So basically it's a French show. It's a French show on Netflix. It's like a, I how do you say it? It's like a science fiction horror thriller.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a cult. It's basically, I mean, I won't give too much away, but it's a French show. And
Like a new
it's
show as well, like recently?
yeah,
Yeah,
2024.
okay.
Like
Yeah.
it's just been released. It's set, yeah, sort of set modern times, but it goes back to the 90s and back. And you know, and I was like, oh man, back to the 90s, you know, like it makes me feel old. But
Oh no.
it's, yeah, it's I look, I thought it was a pretty, first of all, I didn't know it was in a, like a French show. I just thought, oh, this looks cool. Like it says it's, you know, new release and looks a bit different. But yeah, basically it's about this cult and there's twists and turns everywhere. Would I recommend someone to watch it? I don't know. It's definitely, I definitely enjoyed the sort of twists and turns, but I don't know if everything sort of came together as well. But I did enjoy it, you know. It was a bit of mind-numbing thriller, cult thriller thing. And I did like the, you know, whole anthracite thing. And to be honest, I didn't really know what anthracite was because I always hear anthracite dial, anthracite
Coal,
color.
isn't it?
It is, yes, it's coal.
Learned that from Dukes of Hazzard, I believe, from memory of
Yeah.
all shows.
Dukes of Hazzard. So yeah, it's like anthracite coal is just a type of coal. So yeah, I guess when we say anthracite dial, we're talking about coal dials or
It makes
the
sense,
car.
doesn't
Yeah,
it?
it's full circle. But
Yeah.
yeah, anyway, that's my little Netflix recommendation or not so recommendation. Check it out if you want, I guess, listeners. But yeah, don't come at me if you don't like it. I'm saying that right now.
And if anyone does want Netflix recommendations, like Proctor said, I'm always bringing them to the table. It is because I'm broke these days. Two mortgages is killing me, and that is a big night for me and the kids now, is finding a good movie or show to watch.
Yeah,
So
man.
I have a more stashed. I should start a Letterboxd account. That's what I really should be doing with my spare time.
Yes, I have heard about Letterboxd. But hey, no, we should just link it back, and yeah, we should probably do that. But I guess,
Podcast.
yeah, movie podcast maybe. Yes, I'm happy to do that. And then yeah, quick one, another one. So I attended a watch event on the weekend where yeah, lots of cool watches were out and display, and you know, some nice people and some great, you know, great chats, and as the usual in most, you know, in pretty much most watch cash ups in Perth, which is awesome. I think sometimes you know, people can be a bit I guess a bit nervous, you know, when you're sort of meeting strangers and talking to them and stuff. And it's just nice to see that there are nice people out there too who wants to share the hobby. But that's not what the story is about. The story is about, yes, exactly where we were, about the watch event. So the watch event was held at a public venue in a sort of an upstairs loft area. And sort of towards the end of the night, one of the venue staff came up and was looking at all the watches, and he just looked, had this puzzled look in his face.
I wonder why.
Looking at all of us and then looking at all these watches on the table, was going, And then he goes, not directly to me, but to sort of a few people, saying, so is this, do you guys wear these or do you collect these? Or he was so confused about watch collecting, and I that sort of just brought it all back down to roots for me, right? Like, it's like
Yeah.
we're the odd ones out here, right? We're the weirdos that collect multiple watches when the majority of the population have one, if not none.
None, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a funny concept to see a group of people who, and there's more watches on table than there is wrists or hands
Yes.
in the event. That is a
Yeah.
puzzling way to look at things.
For sure. And yeah, I bought eight, which is probably my record. I bought quite a
Eight,
lot.
you took eight.
I did, man. I know. I went a bit wild.
Jesus.
Yeah, I did consult with a couple of people before I went. I was like, so how many watches I bring? And they're like, oh, as much as you want. I was like, sure, I'll bring eight. So yeah,
I'm hoping you didn't bring a roll or a bag. I'm just picturing about four on each wrist just walking
yeah.
in.
Just yeah, four is exactly what I did. No, I bought a roll, and yeah, just I think it was two rolls, and you know, obviously one in the wrist, that was it. I didn't double wrist, but there were some
Yeah.
people double wristing and all that.
No, it's very cool. And apologies for missing that event to the event creator. I was, again, I'll reiterate, we're watching the Eagles Beat the Dockers on Saturday night.
So was I, but not live in the stadium, which I think would have been
it was a much
cooler experience to have.
Now that we have a larger listener base in the US and stuff, I'm not going to understand Aussie rules and whatnot, but it was a huge deal for us in the West, for the West Coast to get back on top of a derby.
I'm a very casual watcher of footy, but I can definitely feel the passion for sure.
Sweet. Oh, just before we sign off too, I did also want to say, like, we touched on this at the start of the show. It's been a while between episodes. So, you know, thanks to all the listeners for sticking by, to the odd person that's messaged and said, when's the next one coming? When are you recording? I think you had someone at the event say, you've got to get back on and record another one. We've been trying. We've been in the thick of things at the moment, but we are back, hopefully more routine. And looking at the analytics of the show, it is expanding. We've gone from what was over 90% Australia listeners to now being 52. So the rest of that, 48% is worldwide, which is still weird to think about and fathom in the head.
Yeah, still mind blowing. Yeah, and no, you're right. Yeah, thank you all for the support, and also thank you for persevering in the last episode where it was just me blabbing on.
You killed it, man. You did very well. I enjoyed it.
No, I appreciate it. But I was the person at the event I was talking to. It was like, no, you did well, Ed. But also it was like, yeah, all right, well, let's get back to the regular schedule program. Yeah. I was like, all right, well, let's do it. No. But it's been awesome. And yeah, definitely feeling the love. And let's go strength to strength. And yeah, like I said in the last episode, we've got some pretty cool stuff coming up as well.
Stuff coming. We're excited.
Awesome. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll chat to you soon.
Take care, mate. Thank you for joining us on Overtime the Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
You can find us on our Instagrams at Overtime the Podcast, at Kinda Average Watches, and at Horology Capture.
We appreciate your support and value your feedback. If you have any questions, suggestions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please hit us up. We would love to hear from you.
Until next time.